Blog Talk Radio.
Heaven could be a wonderful, very special, beautiful gift. Heaven could be a very wonderful, supernatural, special place.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Thank you for joining us. It's Monday, September the 4th, Labor Day Monday. We'd like to welcome you to broadcast tonight, and we pray all is well. We pray you're having a good time with your barbecues, cookouts, time with your family, time in fellowship and connecting and getting ready for to settle in. Next week, most of us are going back to school next week. First of all, I'm going to give a shout out to the Community of Love Outreach last weekend, and the book bags and school supplies we gave to the community here locally in Anne Arundel County. Again, and Brother Boone, we'll give him a shout out. Pastor Powell from Coming to Life Church, Pastor George Sharp from Jesus Lives Ministry. Thank them for their participation and coming out to serve the community. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to get to the program tonight. We have a couple announcements. We got upcoming events. And we finally we locked in our date for Man Up this meeting. We're going to gather here and for our Man Up event. We're going to share that information with you. And also we have some other announcements and some of the things we're going to talk about tonight. Amen. First, we're going to begin with scripture and prayer. And then we're going to get right into the show tonight. Amen. Tonight, we'll be reading from John, the book of John, chapter number 8. And we're going to start at verse number 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. Amen. And the word of God says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.'" Father God, we say thank you today, O God. We thank you for sending your son, O God, to pay the price for our sin, O God, that set us free from sin. You paid the ransom through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we say thank you today, O God. And now, because he died, we are free from the sin, O God. So, Father, we say thank you again. We come to you with hearts of gratitude. Father, continue to do your work, O God. Continue to use us mightily that the gospel message might be shared with all the world and all nations, O God. Father, we ask your strength and your mercy and your guidance. Continue to keep us and watch over us, O God. I pray for those men on the line listening tonight. I pray for those who have called in, O God. I pray, O God, that something tonight will be said that will encourage and edify, O God, and that someone will, God, also hear a word that will encourage them to accept your Son and accept the free gift of salvation today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Well, tonight we're gonna talk about characters, some of the character traits. We're continuing this month in the month of September. We're going to connect with a couple of things, but we're going to continue talking about the character traits of a Christian man. But first, we have some announcements. Our first announcement, as always, we want to support and let people know that hunger is an issue. We have kids going back to school. We have families settling back in for the fall after this big celebration of barbecue, hot dogs, hamburgers, ribs, chicken, macaroni and cheese, and then we're going to settle back in and to our regular routines, again, with the children going back to school. But also I wanted to give a shout-out to Winning Souls Evangelistic Church, a Helping Hands Food Pantry. The pantry is open every second and fourth Saturday of every month from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. All you have to do here, if you're here locally in Anne Arundel County, Maryland area, is bring an ID. They have fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, and also they have deliveries of meat. For those who are in need, the church is located at 2322 Mountain Road in Pasadena, Maryland. Zip code is 21122. The church phone number is 410-437-0137. And if you're in the Maryland area and you don't live in Anne Arundel County in Pasadena, if you call the church, there's a network of food banks, and they can definitely get you in contact and location of the food bank in your zip code and your community. That's the Winning Souls Evangelistic Church Helping Food Pantry every second and fourth Saturday. Amen. If you go on our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk, you'll see the flyer there and the link and the phone number and address and information where you can reach out there for them. Amen. 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 Well, it's finally here. We're locked in. We're locked in. We're locked in. Man up. The Man Up event is coming on Saturday, October the 28th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're going to have three sessions on that day. One of our sessions is going to be Men Reaching Men, the call for men to evangelize men. Session number two, Christian accountability. What does it look like? What are friendships? What are real and superficial brothers? And our third session is the Begotten Son, mentoring and discipling our spiritual and our natural children. Are we making disciples? Amen. We're going to come together again, and the location is going to be in our account. We're locking our location. We have seven options we're working on. Registration is going to start this coming Sunday, the 7th of September. You can go online. You can send us an email at rejoicetv@gmail.com. for online registration. We're going to have an online registration set up. If you go to our Facebook page, you'll see the link there, the email there. You can reach us at rejoicetv@gmail.com for online registration. We're asking for a $20 donation to help support the lunches provided. Again, the Man Up event. And our theme this year is going to be CIA, Character, Integrity, and Accountability. So we're coming together to encourage the body of Christ, the men. We have several churches that are committed to it. We're going to have that information. The flyer is going to be out this week. If you go online, you'll see the flyer. So we encourage you to be part of it. Again, Man Up is back. And our theme for this session is going to be character, integrity, and accountability. Amen. 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 Well, tonight we're going to talk about character. Some of the character traits of a Christian man. We encourage you to call in. If you're online, if you're online at www.blogtalkradio.com/ Deacon Thomas Farr, you can also call in live tonight and join us at 646-668-2636. And if you press 1 on your keypad, we know you're there. We'll see you on the switchboard. We can bring you in. You can share your wisdom and insights on that topic tonight. Well, tonight we're going to continue this discussion we've been doing for a couple of weeks. We're talking about the character traits of a godly man. And two of the traits we want to talk about tonight is being dependable and being responsibility, which is two of the things that we as husbands, as fathers and sons, these are the things that we should be examples to, that those in our family, in our church, in our community, they look towards us as Christian men, and these are some of the character traits we want to be able to display. So tonight we're going to start with dependability. I have two scriptures here I wanted to share. I wanted to share and touch upon when we're talking about dependability and being a man that a dependable man. Basically, what we're talking about is being one who is consistently reliable and trustworthy. It allows us to continue in our commitments, even if it means personal sacrifice. And I think that's one of the things when we talk about husbands and fathers. Are we consistent? Are we dependable even when we have to sacrifice some things? Sacrifice our time, sacrifice the things that we want, sacrifice some of our needs to satisfy the needs of others. And are we dependable that we can say that what our word is true? Can people depend on us? Can they depend on us to be where we're going to be, do what we say we're going to do? And I think that's very important that we seek that, to be that man. Because, again, as an unbeliever, as our lives before Christ, we might have all kinds of different personalities, or we're known to be undependable in certain circumstances and situations, depending on how we feel, if we're moved, if we're in a good mood, if we're not too tired, if we're not too anything. But are we dependable even in the body of Christ, even within our church and within our local community? And so I want to point out to a scripture real quick. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 at verse 2. And it says, the word of God says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And I think that when we talk about being faithful in the things that we are, just as men, are we seen as faithful men as a character trait? Are we loyal? Are we loyal to our family, to our job, and to our church? But first, before all of that, if we look at ourselves and we look at our walk, are we faithful to Jesus Christ and his word? Are we being the man that God calls us to be? Has God done a work in us? Do we see a change in ourselves when we look in the mirror every day, every morning? Do you see a change in you from the inside? Do you think differently? Are you more dependable than you were before? You know, sometimes it's the little things. We were dependable when it's comfortable, but how are we when it's uncomfortable? And those are the things we have to choose and see for ourselves. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me check in real quick on my phone line. Praise the Lord. Pastor Watkins, sir, can you hear me?
God bless you, Deacon Farr. Yes, I can, sir. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful, bro. Thank you for taking time to call in and join us tonight. I know you came in, and I just want to make sure that you heard with the beginning of the program, we're talking about being dependable and responsibility as to the character traits we want to share tonight. So if you want to share on that, I welcome you to share your wisdom and your insights. What do you say, sir?
Sure. When you think about dependable upon that character trait, the word that I have is expectation. Everybody knows what to expect from you when you're asked to do something. They know what to expect. They know what you're going to do. They know that when you say you're going to do something, you're going to keep your word. You're going to follow through with what you say, and you're going to make sure that whatever you say is brought to completion. Many times we say things and we don't always follow through. We don't always complete. We don't always do everything that is according to us to do. Therefore, we leave people with bad expectations, and many of us are at a point where we do things halfway so that people don't expect anything from us, so we don't have to worry about putting in that time, so we don't have to worry about having to meet those goals and those deadlines. But when you're dependable, when people can depend on you, they know what to expect from you. They know that if I ask Brother Farr to do this, Deacon Farr to do this, or I ask Brother so-and-so to do this, that I know it's going to get done. I know it's going to get done correctly, and I know that it's going to get done timely. And all three of those things matter. It's one thing to get something done, but if you get it done late, then it's not really done at all. If you get something done and it's done halfway, it's not done at all. All of these things feed into whether we can be depended upon, whether we can be accountable for the things that need to be done, whether we can, God can place something in our hand and expect for it to be done. I'm reminded of the story of David bringing home the Ark of the Covenant. And David, even though he got upset and even though it cost someone his life and he ended up leaving the Ark in the home of Obed-Edom, he still went back, got the Ark, and brought it triumphantly into the city. Yeah, he had his faults. Yeah, he made mistakes. Yeah, he did it, but he was God depending on him to bring it home, and he did what he was supposed to do. Those are the things that make you a man after God's own heart. You may fall, you may stumble, but you do what you say you're going to do. What do you think, Brother Farr?
Hey, amen. So I agree. You know that's what it is, and we have to look at it too. I mean, from the big to the small. You know, first with Christ, and then we say we are obedient and we abide by the word and we're faithful to Christ as a disciple of Christ. But then does our family see it? You know, because that's the big test. So our family see us as dependable men, as men who stand on the word, stand on our word. Are we faithful in our Christian walk, you know, around our family, around our children, around those who know us, you know, and then that's one of the important things. But the next one I want to share, because this when we talk about dependability, I mean it means a lot, but for each of us we have to search it. I want to talk about our jobs and our careers, our vocation. Are we that kind of worker? Do our coworkers see us as dependable? Do our supervisors, our managers, our bosses, you know, our team lead, do they see us as dependable? And do we show that characteristic overall in our life? You know, it's fine that we can, you know, we do it in some areas of our lives, and other areas of our life we don't think it's that important. You know, God's not concerned with that thing. That's secular. And we lose track sometimes because, again, if we're to be a living epistles, this should be a character trait that's important in our secular environment, because we are, people do see us, and we have to be a testimony to the things of God in our character. What do you say about that, sir, about on our jobs, most importantly, outside of our quote-unquote churchy environment?
I think the life you live outside the church is basically more important than the life you live in the church. The Bible says that we are living epistles known and read of men, meaning that the life that we live is the thing that people see, and it's the thing that testifies to the fact that we are Christians and that God dwells in us, and that we live according to his word. What we do says more about us than what we say. So it is important for us that we live that life in front of people more than we live it in private. It's important that we live it in private as well, but it should be consistency. Again, that word comes through consistency, meaning what we do in private should match up with what we do in public. On your job, you should be living the same life. People should be able to depend on you, again, just as I said, to make sure that things get done. They know what to expect from you. If we are there, and the Bible says that we're supposed to work as unto the Lord, your boss is not the person or the man or woman that was placed in the position above you. Yeah, the Bible says that obey them that have rule over you, because God has placed them in position. But it also says that we are to work unto God, which means God is our boss. God is our chief executive. He's our COO, our CEO, and we're supposed to act like we're working for him. And in doing so, we need to give that standard of work across the board. What can we – many times we expect more from our jobs than we're supposed to. What do you expect from an 8-hour job? Is 8 hours of pay. That's what you need to expect. Now, many people put a lot into their jobs. They put a lot into the expectation of their jobs. But we need to go into our jobs making sure that we live the same life in private that we do in public, and that we are dependable, getting things done in a timely manner to completion and doing it the right way. What do you think, Dee?
Amen. So I agree. That's good advice. That's good advice. I just wanted to share some of the scripture. I want to go to Colossians chapter number 1 and in verse 10, because I think it connects to what you were saying. So we're Colossians chapter 1, verse number 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And I think that's one of the things, too, when we talk about that. Are we walking and pleasing him in our walk, on our jobs, in our secular jobs, in our life where we are in contact with the unbeliever or with others around us who see us and see us work, even other saints on our jobs? You know, sometimes some folks, you know, you might work for a Christian boss or have Christian coworkers, and some of the stuff they do, you know, it's funny. You see, they call themselves Christ. And, you know, if we get into that, now we're looking at them and we're looking at ourselves, and I wouldn't do that. But that's what it is. We have to be mindful of that also, because how we edify the body of Christ when we all claim to be Christians. But, you know, you have coworkers who do certain things, and then sometimes we slip, and our coworkers see us differently if we claim to be Christians. So we have to be on point when we're talking about that. And are we being fruitful in every good thing, too? And that's one of the things I just want to switch to that, because if we're living a way that is consistent with our identity in Christ, because sometimes when we behave differently, I mean, we have a different level of spirituality. Let me say that. If we know that everyone that we work with are unbelievers, then we have a different persona. That's the word I'm going to use, our persona around other Christians. And how important that is, because we don't necessarily know where people are spiritually when they are Christians, claim to be Christians at work. How important? What do you say about that, sir?
One of the questions I always ask people about when you talk about something like this is does the life that you lead on your job make somebody want to go to your church? Does the life that you lead on your job, do people even know that you go to church? And if they know that you go to church, would the life that you lead make somebody want to attend the church that you go to? You know, we have to make sure that we are living a life that is exemplary of that of a Christ-like person, so that when they look at us, they see something different. They see something that's at a higher level. They see something that's set apart. That's what holiness means. To be at a higher level or to be set apart means that we live differently than everybody else, that we have a higher standard, that we have a higher expectation for our life. And if they can see that, if they see that there's something different about you than about them, then that makes them wonder, what do you have that they don't have? Now you're opening up for opportunities for evangelism, open opportunities for people to ask you, can you pray for me? You know, it's an awesome thing if you can have somebody from another religion come to you and ask you to pray for them. That means that they see something in you that they don't see in everybody else, and even in their own religion. So it's the life that we live in front of people. And if we live a life that is exemplary, then we're going to want people are going to want to come and see what we're getting that they're not getting. Do we live that kind of life? Most of us don't live that kind of life. Most of us don't even want people to know that we go to church, let alone live a life in front of them that would say, come to my church. You know, one of the things that I had a friend one time, and she was working with someone, and she was working with the person that went to the same church. And she would cringe because she would say, I don't want anybody to know that we go to the same church, because that person wasn't living a life that made that church look like a place they would want to go. So we have to look at our lives and make sure that we're living a life that our testimony is such that people would want to go and hear, want to go and see and where we're getting it from, so that they can probably be a part of that as well. Are we living that life? I don't know. What do you think, Dee?
You're absolutely correct, brother. And that's one of the things we have to search ourselves, each of us as men. Fathers, we have to search ourselves. What the life we are living, and what is it consistent with our identity in Christ? And again, I'm glad you mentioned that, the reputation of our ministry. You know, even when we go, whatever we do, but we have a responsibility to for Christ's likeness and to represent, and are we crucifying Christ again in our behavior and our attitudes and how we carry ourselves when we think we in our everyday life. That's what I always encourage brothers, that to begin the process of sanctification and change. And the internal change that being led by the Holy Spirit begins when the folk around you see you differently. And how are you representing Christ? And I think that's very important. But now I want to talk about this. When we talk about this dependability and in this growth and in this walk, it's also about our fruit. Are we producing spiritual fruit, the fruit in our life? We know that all the spiritual fruit, and I think that's when we talk about this character trait. We have to look inside ourselves sometimes. We have to be able to look at these things. Again, tonight we're talking about the being dependable. But now we have to test ourselves. We have to look in the mirror and judge ourselves. Is this a character working in us? Are we? Can we be honest with ourselves? Are we dependable? And if we're not, how do we know that we can exhibit this character every day? It's every day. Are we dependable? Are we being a dependable man? Even if we're not, if we have a history, but what are we doing differently? And how can I better use this character trait to develop a better willingness to respond to others, especially those around me, that they might see God in me? And we talked about that and touched on that. And then if we're struggling, in the midst of our struggles of being dependable, are we evaluating ourselves and seeing what's blocking us, that this character trait can start to blossom in us? Because again, we have to be able to evaluate ourselves every day. First, come to God in repentance, asking for forgiveness for when we failed it, but then seek out a way that we can get to a place where we want to be a dependable man. Now we have to seek out the wisdom of others to figure out how do we do that. And this way, again, while we talk about men's ministry, we talk about men coming together, we're talking about ministering and discipling and mentoring men. Not so much young men, even men in the body of Christ, that we are holding each other accountable. And I think that's very important that we see, when we start to see some growth in spirit in one another. It's not that we're judging each other, but we have to be able to first check our own fruit, and then also, are we in relationships where someone else is checking our fruit and how important that is? What do you say, sir?
You know, Deacon, it's interesting, man. I find that brothers tend to keep themselves very busy. They have to always be doing something. They have to always have something going on. And the reason for that is that the way you get to know yourself or to see yourself and do that self-examination is in that time, that quiet time, that time where you get to meditate and spend time with God and reflect, that time where you get to worship and get in God's face, because it's only when you get in God's presence that you begin to see yourself. When you look at what Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6, and when you talked about in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, he talked about the time where he was in the temple and worshiping. And in that time, he said he saw God. And then one of the things that he said is it made him see himself. He said, I am a man. He said, I am undone. And that word undone meant that he was unraveled. God unraveled him before himself so that he could see himself and enabling him to say, I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. It's in that quiet time that you're allowed to reflect on your life, to reflect on yourself, to go through that process of unraveling yourself to see, am I dependable? Can people count on me? Am I living the life that's necessary? What areas am I failing in? What areas am I doing good in? Where do I need to reflect? Where do I need to put the emphasis on so that God can get the best out of my life? And then once we find those areas, it's then getting a matter of someone to be, we then now have to be teachable. We now have to find that person that can mentor us to get to that area. Because if you don't know, how are you going to find out unless you go ask somebody or find the information that can show you how you need to be? we always say, you know, man, you should know better than this, or you should be at this point in your life, you should be doing better than this. And I always say, forget that. If I knew it, I would be doing it. If I don't know it, teach me so I can get to that point. Don't tell me what I should be doing. Tell me how to get to that point. And many of us don't have, we don't want anybody to tell us anything. We don't want anybody to point out the areas where we're deficient. We don't want anybody to show us anything, and we become unteachable. And I don't understand being so arrogant in your ignorance that you're unteachable. If I don't know something, show me. If I don't know something, teach me. If I'm not performing in a standard, help me to get to that point and not have my arrogance block it. And for that sake, many men stay so busy that they don't have that quiet time where they allow themselves to unravel in front of themselves so that they can see their areas of deficiency. They don't want to see it. I'm the man. I'm going to be the man. I'm going to stay the man. And I do everything to deceive myself. The Bible calls it as a man looking in the mirror and forgetting his own image. We deceive ourselves into believing that we're something that we're not because we're not looking at ourselves truthfully and evaluating how we live. What do you think, Dee?
Yes, sir, you're absolutely right. It's two things you touched on. I just want to reiterate to those that are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And if you called in, it's talking about being teachable in that quiet time. And I think that's essential to us because for us to do better, it's just like salvation. We have to understand and realize that we were a sinner, admit that we were a sinner, repent from it. And it's the same thing as we grow as men, as we grow in Christ, that these character traits that we're talking about tonight and ones that we talked about on previous shows, it has to be pointed out to us. The only way we can do that is to be teachable and to be in the company of men, be in the company of brothers who are looking out for us. You know, we have the cliche of iron sharpens iron. We have a cliche. We turn stuff into cliches and my brother's keeper. It's not am I my brother's keeper, but who's keeping me and who is keeping my iron sharp. Sometimes it's a role of submission. Who do I have in my life who's really keeping me on point? Who is keeping after me? Who I know will call me, who will pull me up, who will not let me walk off the cliff or stumble into my stupidity or do those things? Who checks in on me? I mean, I talk about this a lot here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. It's about those brothers how many Sunday services and Bible study does a man have to miss before you look for him? Or do you just we don't care, we don't check on them, we don't call them, and then when we see them, you go, praise the Lord, bro, how you doing? Good to see you again. But they've been missing for days, I understand you might not know everything that's going on, work schedules, vacation, whatever, but after you have it, I just want to know, how many times of missed fellowship is it for the men in your life before you reach out to them, even with a text, a phone call, a voicemail, something? And that's what we talk about here. And the thing that is important, when we talk about these character traits, first in ourselves, are we open to have someone who can pull us up? And then who are we actually really pulling up and being accountable to? And just in friendship. Amen? Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 o'clock, every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m., talking about the issues that affect men as husbands, fathers, and sons, as we continue to love our wives, love our families, and minister and reach the community and reach the unbeliever. Amen? Amen. So, again, we're talking about the character traits. One was dependability. The next one we want to touch on here as we still continue to have this conversation. And Pastor Watkins, I thank you for joining me tonight, taking time out of your schedule and giving us a call and participating. If you're listening on, if you've called in at 646-668-2636 and you're there on, you're waiting and you want to share your insight or your wisdom, just press 1 on your keypad and we can bring you into the conversation. So again, the next character trait I just wanted to touch on real quick is responsibility. I think it ties in to dependability, but also it's part of it. I think it's a two-sided coin. Or it's the flip side, it's the B side of dependability is responsibility. and understanding who we are, and understand that when the things that we do and that we are responsible to and for, this is what God has given us as men sometimes, just to be responsible, the responsibility of being a man, the responsibility of being a husband and a father and a son. There's some things that we're called to be and called to do just because of who we are and what God created us to be. And I think responsibility is one of those character traits. Some of us don't know what it means to be responsible. Some of us can't define it, can't wrap our head around it. But it's something that we're called to do in the life, that the decisions that we take responsibility, I think I'll begin with this. Do we take responsibility for the choices we make and decisions we make in our life, all the way from, you know, family to jobs to whatever it is, how we spend our money, how we spend our time? And are we taking responsibility? Are we being wise in the day-to-day decisions, not the big ones, but the little ones? And how important is that? What do you say, Pastor?
You know, Deke, that word responsibility is such a big word, and it encompasses so much in a man's life. The one thing that you can tell when a man is really a man, and it's not about breath and breeches, it's not about how many women he can slay, it's not about how much money he can make. It's about, does he take care of his responsibilities? And when you talk about responsibility, you talk about the decisions that you make and how you make those decisions, and then dealing with the consequences and the repercussions of those decisions that you make. It's about making sure that if I say I'm going to do this, then I'm doing it and making sure that it's taken care of. It all goes to the expectation. It all goes into dependability. It all goes into your witness. It all goes into everything. Responsibility is so huge that we sometimes don't understand what it means to deal with your responsibilities. It means that if I make a mistake, then I have to be man enough to stand here and deal with the repercussions of the mistake that I made, knowing that I was the one that made the mistake, and I have to accept the role that I played in it, not blaming anybody else for my situation, not blaming anybody else for where I am, but saying that this is because of the decisions that I made. Now let me do what I need to do to take care of it and to deal with it. It's in making those decisions and saying, I made this decision to take this woman as my wife, and now I have to now take care of her. I have to now take care of the offspring that come from this marriage, and I have to now understand the responsibilities of what it means when I said I do in front of God, in front of the preacher, in front of everybody else, and now live out that life in front of them. If I lay down and make a child, then I have to now deal with the responsibilities and the repercussions of my action. I now have a life that I have to take care of, that I have to make sure that they have food, that they have diapers, that they have the right medical coverage, that they are taken care of the way they're supposed to be taken care of. These are the things that men have to take care of, and these are our responsibilities. And it's not until lately, Deke, and I've been dealing with a situation, it's not until lately that I've really fathomed and understand what it means when you don't take care of your responsibility. If we look at in the scripture, I'm not sure where it is, but it talks about the woman that went to the prophet, and the prophet, and she was talking to the prophet, and she talked to him, and she said that her husband had died, and this is the way she said it. She said, your prophet, my husband, is dead. And the way that's mentioned in the Bible, it means that he was more of a prophet or a student to the prophet than he was a husband. It meant that he hadn't fulfilled his responsibility. And he left her with debt. He left her with children that weren't going to be, that she couldn't take care of. And it put her in a situation where she now has to go beg from house to house to be able to deal with the things that she needs to deal with. This is a man that did not take care of his responsibility. And when we don't take care of our responsibility, we leave our children vulnerable, we leave our wives vulnerable, we leave our families vulnerable, because we won't do what we said we were going to do when we made the decision to do something. It's that simple. And this is the thing that dealing with our responsibility is. I can't harp on this enough. I can't express this enough, that we take care of our responsibilities. Our responsibilities say more about us being a man than anything else. If you take care of your responsibility, it's not about being the man of the house. It's not about sitting in the big chair and getting a big piece of chicken. It's about taking care of what needs to be taken care of. My family knows that if something needs to be taken care of, there's going to be a roof over their head. There's going to be food on the table. The lights are going to be on. The water's going to be on. And from that point on, we can deal with everything else. But they know that the basics are going to be on because I'm taking care of my responsibilities. It's about what they know and expect from me. This is what it means to be a man. What do you think, D?
Amen, sir. Amen, amen, amen. You know, you're right. Amen, bro. I was just sitting here listening. And again, these are things that we have to reaffirm. But in reaffirming these things, too, I also want to encourage the brothers out there listening that This is where we have to be able to check ourselves. We have to be able to seek wisdom and guidance and counsel. Because even when we fall short of these things, we have to understand one thing. It all goes back to that God is watching over us. God has put us in a place. God has not given us more than we can bear. There's going to be trials and a testing of life. And we just have to step up to the challenge sometimes. And like you said, decisions have to be made, but are we going to stand by the decision that we made? Are we going to take responsibility? And I think the important thing is not necessarily making it and making the right one, but making one and then be able to stand behind it and even deal with it. Because if the decision you make wasn't the right one, you're going to have to make another one to be able to fix it. Because we're not going to all get it right the first time. We're all not going to be able to make the right choice because we never know. Even the decision could have been the right choice for them, but then the circumstances change and we could continue to press. Or if we make a decision, it doesn't go our way, and then we step back or we step forward into the next part of it. Because, decisions are, there's a combination of decisions that make things go right or wrong. Because you might have to continue to stay the course sometimes, even in the midst. Because things didn't work out, or circumstances changed, but can we be able to man up to be able to do that? So that's where we want to encourage the brothers. Because you might have made a decision and it was wrong. It didn't go that way, or the circumstances changed. So now you have to step up and make another one. Don't pull back. And then that's where we talk about having men in our lives, having wise counsel, having someone to pray before we make our decisions, having counsel of a mature and respected leader or mentor or someone who you're under, your disciple, your pastor, an elder, someone that you can bounce your ideas off. Because no decision, the people talk about making split-second decisions. I don't believe any decision we have to make according to our life has to be split-second or the right now. There's always time for prayer. There's always time for counsel. You know, most of the things that we do in our life, I know we can get dramatic about some things, but if we're really honest with ourselves, decisions that we make, there's always time to take time out to pray, to seek counsel about it, and consider which way we should go. You know, and I think that's where we have to be as men, that we get that wisdom, and that wisdom comes from prayer. Comes from being in the Word of God, being in the fellowship of godly men that are around us, surrounding ourselves with the church family that can help us navigate through this life and navigate through manhood. Or do we just want to put up the persona, put up the facade that we got it all together and everything we do and everything we got is right and we know what we're doing and we don't need no help and we the man. Our pride will kill us. Pride will destroy us. The Word of God speaks about it. Pride destroyed many a man in the Bible as we read and study through Scripture, especially in the Old Testament. Pride killed a lot of men and took them out of their place of destiny, killed their legacy, and even had repercussions in their bloodline. So we definitely have to be careful there. Amen. I want to come back to you, Brother Pastor, again, you know, your insight, because it's important. But I want to read a Scripture real quick. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 14. And for those that are listening online who have called in, go to Romans chapter 14. And I just wanted to share and point something out here in Scripture that, again, we are accountable to God. Let me see where I'm going to start. I'm going to start Romans 14. I'm going to start at 10, verse number 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Verse number 12. So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God. The biggest issue also, we have to stand, we're going to stand before God. You know, we sometimes we do stuff, and when I hide it from my brothers, hide it from my pastor, hide it from my family, hide stuff from my wife, try to cover it up. But God knows, and God's going to hold us accountable, even in the midst of all the things that we do and say and the life we live. But some of us are leading double lives, secret lives. We got one life in the church. We got one life in the world. We talk about this on our jobs. Are we living a life that's pleasing to God? So are we truly living? And again, we have to understand that God is sovereign. God sees all and knows all. And it's important that we understand that. And if we live our life that way, I think some of the stuff that we struggle with and some of the things that we try to keep secretive and hide, we know that, you know, that God is there, that we have, and we'll make better decisions. Let me just say it like that. That'll help guide and direct our decisions in how we deal with the circumstances of life. What do you say, sir?
My father in the Lord, Pastor Jay Sturdivant, had this one saying, and it's a saying that always stuck with me. He said that sin would make a coward out of all of us, meaning that the things that we do, the mistakes that we make, the sins that we commit, make us a coward so that we don't want to look at those areas of our life. If I'm living wrong in a certain area of my life, then I'm never going to look at that area, because then I now have to deal with the fact that I'm not living right and I have a deficiency in that area. That makes me, in my eyes, sometimes less of a man, less of a leader, less of the head. And I can't now continue the facade that I'm putting on that says that I'm the man, I'm the boss, I'm the chief. So the sin in my life makes me a coward in many areas. So that means that there are areas in our life that we won't stand up against. There are areas in our lives where we won't represent correctly. If you're on your job and you're already dealing with issues in pornography, you're already dealing with issues with women and everything else, then when it comes time and the brothers start telling the dirty jokes in the office, you're not going to be the one that says, you know what, I'm not going to deal with this, or I'm going to step away. You're going to be there to participate in everything that they do, so you're not now standing up and living accountable. If you have issues with fidelity in your marriage, when it comes time for a brother saying, you know, I saw this chick and I hooked up with her, you're going to be in the midst of those conversations rather than to stand up for what's right and say, you know what, I'm faithful to my wife and this is how I live. Sin makes a coward out of us. And because sin makes a coward out of us, it makes us compromise in areas of our life. So, yeah, we may be living holy in this area, but it's the other areas where we compromise that diminish our testimony, that diminish our ability to live for God and to represent God in a holistic standard. These are the areas that make you wonder, again, do people know you go to church? Do people know that you're a deacon? Do they know you're a minister? Do they know that you read your Bible? Do they know that you pray? Do they know that you do these things? But because of the sin in our life and because of the mistakes that we make, we don't always live the life that we need to live in front of other people. And this damages our testimony. And it makes us, the Bible says, that we are crucifying him all over again. So it's important for us that we spend the time with God that's necessary, where we can now see God for who he is, which allows us to see us for who we are. That way we can, she can shine a light on those areas of sin in our life, those areas where we fall short, and we can begin to work on those areas and not have them exposed and have them exposed and not have them hidden, which causes us to compromise our life. We don't have that wiggle room anymore. And that's the thing, man. You know, we tried to put a refrigerator in once, and when you have a space that's the exact size of the refrigerator, you don't have any wiggle room to wiggle that refrigerator in. So there's no space on the left, there's no space on the right. You got to slide that bad boy in exactly right. Many of us allow wiggle room in our testimony because we want to be able to cheat to the left a little bit or cheat to the right, because we know that the standard that we have to fit in is real tight, and that if we don't hit it just right, it's going to make a mess. What do you think, Deke?
Amen, amen. Wiggle room, yes, sir, yes, sir. But I'll say this, though, God is, and Jesus Christ is. If we repent, if we confess our sin, God still has a space for us. God still accepts us in as his son,
amen.
And we are his
amen.
Son. Yeah, we have to understand that we are a son, but we have to come to them. We have to come to him in humility. We have to come to him with honesty. And God, I fell short today. Forgive me, and Lord, help me to do better tomorrow. Give me the test again, Lord, that I would abide in you and lean on you for the way to go, and not my own way. Because we all struggle, we all make mistakes, we all fall short. But God is gracious. So I just want to say, there's a little wiggle room there, but we can't be habitual, continually disobedient and say that we love God. That's all. That's all. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm going to come back to you real quick. I'm going to make an announcement. I want you to close us out, your final closing thoughts, and pray us out. We're getting close to the end here. But again, I want to remind those that are listening that Issues Christian Men's Talk, we're here every Monday night at 8, every Thursday night at 8:30. You can always go to blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr and listen to the archive of this broadcast, rebroadcast of all our past shows. We've been on almost two and a half years now. There's an archive library of all our past discussions and shows on different topics that encourage men to edify men and to push men into increasing and growing their faith. So that's our prayer, that men will grow in faith, that some of the issues we talk about here would encourage your brother to know that you're not alone, and never to give up. Never, never give up. Repent, ask God's forgiveness, seek out a brother, seek out a mentor, seek out your pastor, and continue to press on in the things of God, because God has a plan and purpose for all of our lives. And some of us, it's not about titles in the church. It's about being fathers, husbands, and sons. And if we're faithful to that, we'll stand before Jesus Christ and hear, well done. Again, as a reminder, our Man Up event is on the calendar. It's locked in for Saturday, October the 28th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're going to have three sessions. And we're going to talk about some of the issues that affect men that are coming up. It's going to be men reaching men, the call for men to evangelize other men. We have to be on point as men of God. For those of us in the church, those of us who have been in church a while, if we've been in 5 years, 2 years, 3 years, 15 to 50 years, when was the last time we reached an unbeliever for Christ? When was the last time we evangelized? When we went out and cold evangelized to those who have not heard and not living for Christ, not have a gathering to encourage one another and just show how wonderful we are to other Christians, but are we reaching the unbelieving man in the midst of? And he doesn't necessarily have to be struggling, because we have a sinner man who's going straight to hell, who has all the material and temporal things of this world, but they are spiritually dead, and are we reaching them? So we invite you to come out for that session. And then our second session would be the Christian accountability. What does it look like? What does it really look like to be a Christian man and have accountability in our life and to hold someone else accountable in our friendships and brothers? That we all would say we're brothers in Christ, but who is the real brother and who is a superficial brother? And are you a real brother or superficial brother? So we invite you to come out for that and be part of that. And so we're going to talk about friendships. And the third session is going to be a begotten son, our spiritual and our natural sons. Are we making disciples? There was Barnabas, there was Paul, there was Timothy, there was Titus. Who in our life? Where are we? Are we a Titus, a Barnabas? Who's a Timothy? Or are we a Timothy? And who's our Paul and Titus? Where are we? Where do we fall? And are we the begotten of? Because again, we, as men of God, we have to be able to mentor and be mentored. We have to be able to disciple and be discipled. And we're going to talk about that in those three sessions. So, again, we encourage you to join us for that. Again, Saturday, October the 28th, we're requesting a donation of $20. You can register online. We have a setup. We're into technology now. We have a setup for online registration. You send us an email to rejoicetv@gmail.com. rejoicetv@gmail.com. And you can register online. We'll send you the link. You can pay on PayPal. And we're going to registration is going to open up this weekend. So we're going to continue to see it. You can always go to Issues Christian Men's Talk, our Facebook page, and our Twitter account at Issues Men's Talk. You'll see the link there for the online registrations. And we just pray that you would come out, bring your husband, bring your father, bring your uncles, your cousins, your nephews, bring your son, your grandson. It's going to be open to ages 15. That's that freshman year of high school. So we're going from 15 and up. And we're going to talk about some of the issues and encourage one another. We're going to have resources. We're going to have tools for your toolbox as you continue to be able to mentor or throughout the coming year. For those ministries that are joining us, we have that list too. And this is going to be used as a momentum starter for your men's ministry. If you haven't been to one of our events, we share resources. We share books and Bible studies that you can be able to start the momentum for your men's group, that they can be able to grow, because we hear what we hear and we gather together to encourage one another, continue to press forward, to reach men, to mentor and disciple men. Amen. Pastor Watkins, sir, your closing thoughts, and could you close out in prayer, brother? And I appreciate you for taking time out and calling in tonight.
Hey, Deacon, it's been my pleasure, man. I always love the opportunity to be here and to interact. I appreciate you for your wisdom and honesty, and I appreciate you in hosting these shows for the betterment of men. Thank you so much, sir. The one thing that I wanted to say in closing is that the word that I would give is responsibility that we talked about. It's important that we be men of responsibility. Responsibility encompasses the whole area that we've been talking about in the character of a man, as far as being dependable. If we are meeting our responsibilities, if we're taking care of our responsibilities, then we're going to become and be known as men of that are dependable. If we're taking care of our responsibilities with our family, if we're taking care of responsibilities with our children, if we're taking care of responsibilities with our wife and on our jobs, if we're taking care of responsibilities in our church and in our community, then we're going to be known as men that can be depended on and are dependable. The problem comes when we don't meet our responsibilities. Then it goes against our character. It now then puts flaws in our character that says maybe he's not dependable, or you can't depend on him to do this, or you can't depend on him to do that. It now puts those flaws in our character. It's important to know that as a man, it's not about how many kids you can make. It's not about how many women you can slay. It's not about how much money you have or the biggest car you drive. It's about, are you taking care of your responsibilities? Are you walking worthy of the vocation wherein you were called? So these are the things that are important that we must know about men. Are we taking care of our responsibility? Again, Deacon, I thank you for the opportunity. Let's close out in prayer. Let us pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, how we love you and adore you, how we appreciate you for everything that you do in our lives. We thank you, God, for this opportunity that you've allowed us to take to come and to tabernacle together for a while, to come and to reason together, Lord God, the things that we need to do and to understand to become better men. Father, we pray right now that this message, this teaching, this opportunity to share would reach out to men, and that it would help them to better their lives, that this word would have touched somebody's heart and pricked something that would cause them to do differently, Lord God, to cause them to be better, Lord God. We pray now for Deacon Farr and all that he pours out, Lord God. We pray that you would pour back into him a double portion of your spirit for all that he exerts. Father, we thank you now. We thank you for this time, and we ask that you bless us now, Lord God. Pour in the oil and pour in the wine so that the enemy cannot fester in those areas that were exposed tonight and that healing might take place. We thank you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, Pastor. God bless you, sir. Thank you very much.